listening to Seattle Sports Leader.
Yes, sir!
93.3 KJRFM Seattle. An iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Gosh, I hope she's okay.
Now, it's a common sense, too. I want you to be honest. Like, how many people driving up from the great city of Puyallup would you want to murder today on the roadways? Chris Egan from King 5 is here on a common sense Tuesday. How many people do you want to kill today?
For everybody driving right now,
okay,
Puck. Everybody driving right now. With me right now. Gosh! Yeah. 2 hours, Puckett!
Yeah.
2 hours from Puyallup to Seattle! I could have been in Yakima! I could have been in Portland! I could have been in Palm Springs on a plane! 2 hours,
so
Puckett!
You left your house at right at 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock!
Yeah, 7 o'clock. Should have been 7.
Who in their wildest nightmare would have thought it too. I mean, I've been doing it for 21 years, Puckett. I should know better. But
yeah, but you never come in. You never come in at this time because you're doing us a favor because Jim's got to golf again with his kids and you take another day off during the summer.
And Puckett, kid, anyone,
you're out
anyone
of breath.
That is listening right now, this is just solid advice.
Oh.
If you are married, dating, in a relationship to anybody that does the commute to Seattle, and maybe you live up north, maybe you live up south, east, west, and they're commuting home, when they get home, hand them a beer and just leave them alone.
Alone time for about an hour.
Just leave them alone, because whatever conversation you're going to have with them is not going to go good.
Yeah.
So just say, hey, honey, Here's a Mac and Jack.
You hand her a Mac and Jack. What does she hand you? Some type of spritzer?
Well, you know,
maybe a Pinot Gris. I mean, what is Mrs. Egan hand you?
I would love a nice margarita.
Who doesn't like a
Cadillac margarita? If you were able to get a little Grand Marnier,
a little on the rocks.
Yeah.
You're a rocks guy, right?
No.
Who likes it frozen? Or who likes it?
No, that's you
blended.
You get the brain freeze.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
not
like
worth it.
It.
On the rocks. I don't need the salt.
Yeah,
but a little Cadillac.
Oh, I gotta have the salt.
Cadillac, but Puckett, I'm gonna tell you what. You and I feel like, you know, when it comes to blackberries and gooey ducks in Mount Rainier, you and I are about as northwest as they can. I'm telling you what, I've been living a dream. I mean, these last 4 days in Seattle is why we live here. I mean, it has been magical. From Seafair, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's got to be 500,000 people that were out there, you know, over those 3 days.
I was one of the 500,000 people.
I mean, it was absolutely incredible. I was at the Mariners game last night. Hadn't brought the whole family. We're sitting next to two guys stoned out of their mind.
Yeah, well, good for them. Yankee fans or Mariner fans?
Well, they didn't know. It was their first game.
Were they aware that the game was going on?
We had to explain the Mariners were in white and the Yankees were in gray.
Okay. Like that high.
They got a red card. I've never heard of this before.
For behavior?
Yes. You can get a fan red card. Red cards, you're out of the game. So it's not a yellow.
What were they doing?
Well, apparently they lost a joint and then they were going through everybody's aisle.
I cannot make this up. So these two stoners.
Yes.
They're high in there. Everybody knows they're high. Are they trying to smoke inside the stadium?
Well, I think that's why they got the red card. Was maybe because I was sitting kind of down from them, but my daughter, her boyfriend, and my son Austin were right behind
them. Daughter's like, hey, puff, puff, give, guy. Come on.
And apparently, all of a sudden, Maddie looks at me and goes, Dad, they got a red card. I go, what is a red card? I've never even heard of it before. Two red cards, you're out of T-Mobile Park. But you know what? They were having a heck of a time.
Why did they get the red card?
I think they were vaping, I believe. You can't vape.
So they were doing the vaping weed.
Yeah, but then they lost a joint and they were upset.
And they're just going like down the aisle. Excuse me. See, we're looking for a joint. Looks a little Bob Marley-like.
And then they ask Luke, 12-year-old Luke, hey, have you seen it?
Luke's like, yeah, it's right here. Lay off, buddy. Just Luke's over there. Oh. Luke of it comes up to you later and like, how about some shish berries, some Dippin' Dots, and let's go up to that 300 level for the ice cream in the helmet. Let's go.
Yeah. So I mean, but even though they lost last night, Puckett, we can break it down. I mean, the atmosphere. I mean, no, yes, there are a lot of Yankee fans
I haven't
there.
Moved on from the red card stoners.
Yeah.
Here.
No, I know you.
Okay,
haven't.
Come on. Did they calm down after the red card?
They had a hell of a night.
Yeah, they did.
They get the red card, and they're like, it's okay, but we're taking a lot of selfies. And then they ask me if I could join them on their marijuana podcast.
And?
What'd you say? I need to check with work before they allow me to do that.
I think King Five would be like, why not? take along Copeland with you. I love it. What's the name? Can we give them what's the name of their podcast?
I would have to research it.
I love that they invited you on their podcast.
Everybody's got a podcast.
Everybody's got
and
a podcast.
And then I literally, like, I'm sitting like four down from them, and I hear them talking to Austin. They're like,
You want to come on?
No, they literally go, yeah, it would be fun to be down on the field, but we've tried and we can't get credentials down there. Could you imagine them going to Tim Heavily? Hey, we've got a marijuana podcast. Can we get credentials?
We'd like to. Gilbert looks like he gets high. We'd like to interview him. I bet there's some guys that smoke on that team.
Oh,
Gilbert
man.
Looks like a smoker. JP,
what a night! I mean, what a weekend! I mean, it was incredible.
Well, bad luck. They lost.
Well, I know.
Their teeth kicked.
They
last
usually
night.
Do pretty. When I'm anchoring with this our new anchor Madison Wade, they actually are undefeated. We have the stats.
All right.
So, but yeah, last night. Yeah, not a good night.
And how'd the hydros go? You were all over the hydros.
Oh, God. I mean,
16 hours of hydros coverage.
To sum it up, you know, we have Dave Vilwalk, 68-year-old, been racing forever. But J. Michael Kelly wins the race. And this kind of sums up what we've been through for the last 3 years.
But it's classic Seafair how he was announced that he won, isn't it?
We had to wait. And, just, and then they're
how
in.
How can they not announce the winner when it happened? Wasn't it like 3 hours later?
They got to do all the stats and
how
check all
happen?
The tape. And they have to check all. They have to make sure that their hydro was never under 80 miles
but
an
I
hour.
But I don't understand hydro racing. But every year, is it not the case? But, God bless the hydros. Every year, is it not the case? Someone wins and you think they win.
And then you have to wait.
2 hours later.
So how about this? How about this? Paul Sylvie and I were talking after the race. And this would throw everybody in a loop. And Seafair is all about tradition. Love to get Ian's thoughts on this a little bit later on as well. Why not put the Blue Angels last? So you run
after the races?
So you run the main heat. And then you've got the whole 45 minutes of Blue Angels to figure out who the winner is. And then after the Blue Angels, then you
announce.
That's a
good idea. Well, because I was out there on the boat, it's over serve time.
Yeah.
People need to go home.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
People need to get
and
out of here.
They all want to wait for the Blue Angels. So you people. Run the finals,
hey, I'm not,
then go Blue Angels, then you do the championship.
So we were out there both days.
Okay.
Saturday, we got they buzzed the tower. But I'm telling you on Sunday, this one of them came down. And I swear to God, was 20 feet off the water.
Yeah.
The sneak pass got
was,
you, huh?
Yeah, and no one could, and it came out of nowhere. Everyone was looking south.
Yeah, sneak pass.
Everyone was looking south because that's where all five of them were.
And
then it comes out of nowhere over, that would be what, like Madrona, Madison Park. Comes over there.
Yeah.
And I mean, comes scooping down on the water. And right when it goes over all the boats, it turns on the afterburn. It's like, and like, I'm like, oh my, I jump out, I drop like my beer. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
That was
I thought we were under attack.
That was happening in the pits too. But here's the thing, Puckett, I just love now about the world we live in. Since everybody in the world watched Top Gun, everybody is an expert on this. I have one guy, Egan, I think he's below the hard deck.
I go, what?
Yeah, of course he's below the
Can
hard deck.
I tell
deck.
You what was really cool? When you were out there on the water, except for our boat, we were listening to the Mariners game, but everybody had Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah.
Highway to the Danger Zone. Every single boat, for like a loop, for a 45-minute loop.
There was a couple in the pits making out.
Oh, there was more than making out. I'm going to tell you right now. I witnessed it. About four kids have been conceived.
Okay.
At least.
Out in the log boom.
Well, no, just north of it.
Gotcha.
North of it. They don't let you in the log. You can't get in You can't pass
over. Oh, because you're on the other side. I got
you. Can't pass over.
Which was like, I came over on Saturday.
Just, no one cares. I mean, it's open bow.
Yeah. You could walk across
Dad,
the
boat.
I
think he's porking her. Oh, he is. He sure is, son. He sure is.
But to J. Michael Kelly, who wins the race, I'm doing the interview pocket, and he almost breaks down in tears. And it was, it kind of just kind of summed up what everybody was feeling, that thank God it's back.
Oh,
and you know what? You can sit there and say, oh, there was only five boats and blah, blah, blah. But for me, that somebody that's lived here my whole life, I got to tell you what, that place was rocking. There was a lot of people. The Blue Angels put on a show. The Hydros, the ones that were there racing, they put on a show. I thought it was awesome.
It just felt the whole weekend. You know, I think you and I and Jim and I have talked about this a lot. There's a lot in this area. Now, there's been growth.
Sure.
And there's, you know, people's property value has gone way up. And so there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of people who have lived here their whole life who yearn for the yesteryear, where things were just a little bit slower, not as crowded, didn't take you 2 hours to get up, you know, from Puyallup up to here.
No.
You know, that some of the old haunts are still around town, who now, you know, those things have been taken down, you know, for new high-rise condos and mixed use and all of that. You know, me for one, I might be in the minority. I miss the Viaduct. That's just me. I miss the Viaduct.
Yeah.
I love the Viaduct.
But I didn't have to pay to go through the Viaduct.
Right. And I just like the view.
Yeah.
I just always like driving over and there's the Olympic, whatever.
See the ferries.
The one thing that's been missing the last few years, it just kind of felt like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And to have, you know, the races, I mean, the Hydros, I don't really go out there to watch the Hydros. I go out there just it's fun to be on the water and see the Blue Angels and all that, the Pirates. And just it was a fun, great weekend.
Yeah.
It had been void of it for several years.
Yeah, no, you're right. And then you go to T-Mobile Park, and yes, they lost, but that place was rocking last night. I mean, you can feel the Mariners have kind of grabbed the attention of everybody here in the Northwest, and it's so much fun to be. It's a Monday night in August, Bucket, and that place was packed last night. It was rocking. I expect the same tonight.
And it was like that, you know, that was the first year I covered the team. Was 2003, where it was like that, and then it just fell apart. You know, that's not been the same since then. So, and I don't think people realize, because it's been 20 plus years, that they used to every single night get 35,000 plus there every night, and so to see it now starting to happen again is awesome to see. I know there are a lot of Yankee fans there last night, but there's always. Even their heyday, there's always a lot of Yankee fans. But it's just good to see it. They put themselves in a position to be playing. Every game is relevant towards the end of the year. Every single game.
Every at bat. I mean, when you watch last night.
How about JP's at bat?
You get bases loaded, JP, the place is on their feet. Oh. You know, next batter coming up. Who was up after JP last night?
Was the Raleigh. He just missed the.
And it was
just
funny.
Missed it down the right field line.
I love my 12-year-old. Everybody was up on their feet for JP Crawford. Then everybody's like, oh, let's sit down again. And Luke Egan's like, why are we sitting down? It's still bases loaded. And I'm like, you better believe it, 12-year-old. Let's get
everybody
up.
There's one thing I wanted. I think we should all educate some maybe new fans there.
The wave?
I don't like the wave at baseball games, but that's me.
My section started the wave last night. I felt a little guilty. But then again, you know what was happening in my section last night.
Because they were high. Let's wave! I don't like it at baseball games, but whatever.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Yeah.
When there's two strikes on a hitter, the opposing hitter, get up and start cheering.
Get on your feet.
Get on your feet. Too many people sitting down. Get up. Because then, if you're in a section, that you get up and you feel. Because then someone, I can't see. Well, then stand up. You, sir, look like you could maybe start standing it up. You know, sitting up, standing up. Maybe some lunges. Instead of that Philly cheesesteak sandwich you're throwing in your mouth. Me too. I can be doing lots of stuff. We got Little League World Series. We'll be following this all day long. And the Issaquah Little League. Softball team is underway.
And those Bonnie
Lakes.
It's
on ESPN Plus. I got to get it up here.
Let's get that up.
Bonnie Lakes, what, next week?
Bonnie Lakes, Sumner. A lot of people have to correct people in the King 5 newsroom. They're just throwing out Bonnie Lake. It's Bonnie Lake, Sumner.
But Bonnie Lake gets first billing.
Sure.
Always has.
A lot of the kids, though, Puckett, are from Sumner. So let's give them their fair due. It is Bonnie Lake / Sumner.
Sumner gets lost between Puyallup. And Raider. No, not Raider. No, what am I thinking of? What's
I literally had to tell somebody in the King 5 newsroom, it's Bonnie Leg Sumner.
Okay.
And all of a sudden a note comes out. According to Egan, it is Bonnie Leg Sumner.
How many people just roll their eyes like, oh, God, who cares? Bonnie Leg Sumner. They beat Idaho Lewiston. Take that, Idaho Lewiston, you sons of bitches. So they moved on to the championship game. It's Thursday, right?
I'm getting a note because my mom walks Thursday with two of the grandmas.
I think it's Thursday. If I read it correctly, it's Thursday at 4, and it's going to be between either the winner between Oregon and Idaho plays tomorrow.
Okay, according to Mila, who walks with my mom, Barb Egan, Chris, we did it last night. My grandson Brody hit a home run, a 3-run blast.
Yeah.
We're going to play in the championship game on Thursday.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
4 o'clock. All right. The winner between Oregon and Idaho. That's a loser out. There you go. And then Issaquah is playing, I think, right now. It's on ESPN Plus. They will play the winner of Puerto Rico. Or they play the winner, which is Puerto Rico.
By the way, Bonnie Lake Sumner's got a kid that looks like he's like 21.
Watch all these kids. Look at all these kids. They're up. Look at this guy, Austin Cummings. He's 12 years old, 5'4", nicknamed City Limits. I don't get that one. Look at the guy pitching. He doesn't look like
there's
he's
some big
12.
Kids. Yeah, there's some big kids out there.
All I look for is how big the kids are, and then every mom is hot and blonde.
Yeah,
everyone, which I find.
Is that with Bonnie Lake Sumner too? I haven't been watching.
I don't know. I haven't seen them play yet. Do we really have to call him Bonnie Lake Sumner? Can we just sound Bonnie Lake?
No, it's Bonnie Lake Sumner. I mean, they would be. Think if your kid's from Sumner, Buck, you know.
You got needed some love.
Yeah.
Do we know any, are there any famous kids on this team?
Well, I just mentioned one of them, little Brody.
Well, okay, what's Brody's last name? Do we have anybody like, Brody, there's a grounder to find.
Brody Santman.
Oh, yeah, the Sandmans.
Yeah. His grandma walks with my mom.
Have you done any stories on this team?
Oh, yeah, we've had them on.
What about the Issaquah team?
Well, I think we've had them. I think Steve Bunin has had them on at his noon show.
They still have him around there. Bunin's still there. You talk about guys that really pull the covers over people's eyes. I'm kidding. Joking. All right. We got a good show for you. Common Sense Tuesday. Egan's here all day long. Why? Well, Jim Moore again is golfing with his kids. A
lot of golf time for Jim.
A lot of golfing with his kids. He's really, what I love about this whole, like, it's the summer of Jim, squeezing out all this time with his kids.
It'll be next summer, too.
It's not like his kids are going away to college. They're going to Pierce College. They're like 10 miles away.
10 miles south, but 2 hours away.
2 hours. God, thank you for coming.
I'm joking.
I mean, honestly,
Puckett.
It is so brutal.
I love being in here with you.
So brutal to come in here. Do you have to do TV today?
No. But tonight, my wife has planned out a special night.
Special night.
The Egan kids are going hiking. That doesn't seem fun to me.
Wait a minute. The Egan kids, are you going hiking?
Well, yeah, we're hiking with some friends tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah. But there's a hiking?
There's
a trail in Puyallup. It's a great little trail, and we're going to hike and then come back and have pizza and play pickleball.
Okay.
There you go.
And you're not sold on this?
Well, I would rather when I drive back home.
Pickleball and beer.
Maybe just have a beer, mow the lawn, and just
call it a day.
How
long is this hike? What are we talking about?
You know, here's the problem with hiking with her. They like to move and hike. I like to kind of take in nature as I hike.
Just kind of take in the sounds and the senses and the smells.
You know, if I see a salamander, I want to stop and, see the salamander.
She's going hard.
And they put their Lulus on and they just go.
The little fanny pack. Do we have hiking sticks?
I don't know if they have hiking sticks, but usually the three ladies.
And they're going hard.
Marty and Tanya and Mel, they all match their outfits. And they just really push it. And I'm like, oh, look at that fur.
They have the mom walk.
The arms are really
moving.
And I say they walk a lot, and they say, we actually run, Chris. I'm like, I don't know.
You can call that running. Some call that just a fast walk.
Hey, gals, I don't know about you, but I've actually been to 5 Olympics, and that's walking.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Do they have the mom cup on the hike?
Oh, they go to Starbucks halfway through.
The mom cup, like, filled with, like, maybe a rosé.
That will be tonight. Yeah. Okay. They'll have that tonight.
Well, good for them.
But they'll still move very fast, and once in a while, I want to stop. Pick a blackberry.
Kids fired up for this hike?
They, 18-year-old Austin, unless he's pitching for his new level team, he doesn't.
He doesn't engage much.
Seriously, Mom.
Oh, it's so good.
Or he's playing poker. He's having a lot of poker
nights. Jesus, really?
Yeah. High school
kids.
Good for him. Yeah, they're having fun. Bring them over. Get them a bunch of pizzas. And
my 13-year-old is. You've already gone through this now twice. I don't like this phase of they hate you. Or they don't like you. I don't like it.
They like you. It's just they're going to act kind of like
I don't like it. And I told her, when you turn 13, I said, I only have one present. My present to you is this. Don't do the I hate you thing. And now it's just starting to. It's starting to happen. I don't like it.
Trust me.
Thinking about kicking her.
Trust me. She loves you.
I know. This guy just said his favorite pizza, Alfredo pizza. I don't know if I trust a guy that wants an Alfredo pizza, huh? What do you think?
No.
There was a kid yesterday that was 11. He claimed his favorite actor was John Wayne.
Yeah. Then no. He's been fed that from his parents or his grandparents. Kid
says, yeah, John Wayne.
Nobody.
Hey, Journey Boswell. That is a great name. 12 years old. Nickname Hollywood. Of course it is.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen the show Alone. Have you seen the show Alone?
Alone?
It's on Netflix.
No.
They dropped 10 people off up in Alaska, British Columbia.
No. I got to watch it.
Watch it.
Okay. All right. We have a Common Sense Tuesday. John Cannon's on 11:05. Voicemails at 11:30. Tweet of the day, 11:45. Special guest coming up at noon today, Anthony Shipman, director of sales and also the 2022 U.S. Women's Amateur Championship director. And Brent Zepp, a PGA head professional there at Chambers Bay. They're going to join us at 12:05 today. A great event is happening at Chambers Bay. Started yesterday, 2022 U.S. Women's Amateur Championship. They're through the first round. They've got the second round today. And then they'll have the qualifying for the final match play. And then the 36th match play championship coming up on Sunday. It will be broadcast live on the Golf Channel. Starting tomorrow, so we'll talk to Anthony and Brent coming up.
13-year-old fire a 67 yesterday.
She, a 13-year-old set the women's course record.
Yeah, 67, and then you had a 12-year-old puck from Russia, from Goran Tennis, that won the Washington State Open over at Seattle Tennis Club. 12-year-old won that tournament. You got a 13-year-old firing a 67. Amazing.
Unbelievable. All right, so it's Common Sense Tuesday. We'll have more on the M's and more on the Seahawks. I thought it was some pretty good comments yesterday from KJ Wright that we'll have to discuss throughout the show today here on 93.3 KJF.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Puck and Jim.
All right, we got everything up here right now. We got the Little League World Series or Little League Regionals going on right in front of us there on the big tube. Look at that kid trying to lay down that bunt. That's what I like to see. A little small ball. See this kid on the mound right here for Texas. That kid's 12. And then we got the Issaquah softball team. They're in the Little League World Series right now. It's the opening round.
They're taking on Texas too, right?
And it's it's in the top of the second inning. They're in the field right now. Texas got a runner on. With no outs, no score between Texas and Issaquah right now.
And Bonnie Lake Sumner once again playing on Thursday in the regional championship from San Bernardino.
Yeah, yeah. So if they win, they're going to Little League World Series. Yeah. They'll be going to Williamsport. Are you going to go back if they make it? I mean, come on. Five's got a come on, they got money. Let's go.
And I'll tell you what, Puck. There's somebody that covers that 253, you know, tighter than anybody.
No one does it better than
me. Bonnie Lake, I can tell you what. It's too bad that the BLT is shut down, the Bonnie Lake Tavern, because there would be a party every night.
I'm going to ask you, when they win this whole thing,
yeah,
where is the party at Bonnie Lake / Sumner?
Well,
where are we going?
I can tell you there's going to be ice cream for everybody at the Dairy Freeze right across from Sumner High School.
The Dairy Freeze.
The Dairy Freeze.
Okay.
That's a traditional stopping ground.
So that's
in Sumner.
Different than, like, so did they just say we're going to combine Dairy Queen and Frisco Freeze?
And then they make it Dairy Freeze. But it's been there, Puck. It's been there, you know, for hundreds of years.
Okay.
And but the BLT is no longer open. That was the Bonnie Lake Tavern. That was the place to go. But I'll have to do a little recon, and on Friday I'm gonna give you an update.
First of all, we're huge in Bonnie Lake / Sumner.
Yeah.
So 49451 on the Tullamore Dew text line.
Where to go?
Where's the party gonna be if you are from Bonnie Lake / Sumner? So we'll have to do two separate parties, one in Bonnie Lake and one in Sumner.
One, yes. And I know a lot of Bonnie Lake people are gonna want to go out to kind of Lake Taps area, but no, let's keep it real here. All right, Lake. You know,
I mean, is Bonnie Lake much of a lake?
No, there is no lake. It's Lake Taps. I have to explain this to everybody. It's like Klamath Falls, Oregon. There's no falls in Klamath Falls. Bonnie Lake,
isn't
there's
there
no
like
lake.
A little pond out there or anything?
I'm sure there's like a...
my question has always been this. Why do they call it Bonnie Lake if there really is no lake there?
Well, it's Lake Taps. I don't know. Let me dig into
You're
that history.
You're supposed to know this.
Let me text the mayor of Bonnie Lake and see if we can get an update on that.
Okay. Just wondering why they call
curious,
it Bonnie Lake
though.
With no Bonnie Lake.
I'm curious on the text line where to go party.
Yeah, 49451. Bonnie Lake and Sumner, when they win this whole thing, where's the party at? That's what I want to know.
Because we want to be there.
What about for Issaquah? Where do we go in Issaquah?
Oh, there's a lot of good spots. The Triple X Burger?
Well, and I'm like, no, places where the adults can get after it. Where are we going? And the kids can just be left unattended like they are at most places around
have
town.
You, have, you ever
under
been
iPads.
That, have you been to that burger spot, by
no,
the way?
No, you told me about it, and I want to go. You said it was a little pricey, but well worth
well
it.
Well
right?
worth it, yeah.
Okay.
Root beer floats.
We had KJ Wright on yesterday. And by the way, I mean, my God, he is just a natural at this.
Very good.
An absolute natural at what I like about KJ, one, he's got just an easygoing personality. He doesn't play the I played the card, I played and you didn't card. But he is, you know, he's well thought out in terms of his opinions on the team. And we had him in yesterday. We had him on Friday, and then we brought him back in on Monday because we wanted him to, you know, his thoughts on the mock game. Because he was going to go and watch it, which he did. And get his thoughts really on Geno Smith and Drew Lock. And then, you know, we wanted to ask him about Jamal Adams because they were showing some different things defensively, which is not a secret, by the way. They've showed this in practice, and everyone has written about it in the paper, that they're going to have Jamal Adams probably slide down and play a little bit of linebacker. They're going to go three safety. Sean Desai coming over for the Bears, his system was these three safeties on the field at once. So you'll see Diggs and Neal and then Jamal Adams, but down by the box. So we just asked, you know, KJ yesterday when he was with us. And again, this is a former player. He's how many years removed from playing for the Seahawks? Not much. But I thought it was I think, an honest description of Jamal Adams, something that has been echoed by Hugh Millen. I know he was taking a lot of crap for it, about how best to use Jamal Adams this season.
He has a great skill set. He has a gift.
Yes.
And his gift is around that box. His gift is busting to the flats. His gift is being in the hooks. That is what he's great at. Just because you're a safety, that doesn't mean that you have to play him 50 yards back. The man has a unique skill set, and so put him where linebackers be and let him play ball.
And not so many words, and he even expands on it too, is that, listen, he's not good at coverage. He's just not. That's not what he's good at. It's not what they're paying him to do. Now, maybe they thought when they acquired him, they could make him better. But after watching him now for a couple of years, I think they realize, yeah, that's not good. And we'll get exposed. And, you know, KJ also touched in on something that Hugh's talked about a lot. I keep bringing this up because I think it reaffirms something that Hugh has said all along with him. And for some people, they get set off by Hugh sometimes, mm-hmm. and they think he's being overly critical of it. And, again, the guy watches more film than anyone combined in this area.
I agree.
And so he knows what he's talking about. You may not always agree with it, but I would always just ask you, if you don't agree with it, then you counter something with him that you've watched.
Well, and to give Hugh credit, he doesn't speak from his heart, which is no. I mean, he speaks from his mind. And as you mentioned, he does his homework. You take the cliche, separation of the preparation. He was up late at night, early in the morning, watching film.
Yeah, and so I think when you hear KJ, who is removed from, who played with him.
Yeah.
And I think in a nice way, it's that he didn't kill him. He just said a nice way, hey, it's just not his strength. Not his strength to play back there. Strength is going to be played at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, and he also touched on how, you know, they had to do different schemes, you know, to get him sacks, to get him the ball, which is something Hughes talked about, which KJ reiterated yesterday a little bit. I don't know if it's trying
don't you
to
think
justify
this...
the what they did, the trade and the payment, but he clearly needs to have a big season in order for them to be successful. But they can't do it at the expense of others.
And, Puck, I go to a conversation I literally, not dropping names, but had with Pete Carroll probably 6-7 years ago. Ooh. When we're talking youth.
Sylvie doesn't get this.
We're talking youth sports one morning. And he says, Chris, your job as a youth coach is to find the strength in every one of your kids.
Yeah.
He goes, it's a little easier for me because all my kids are professional athletes. And you have 11 and 12-year-olds. And with all this being said, with what Hugh's saying and what KJ Wright's saying, we have to kind of assume that the Seahawks coaches know this, because the eye in the sky don't lie, which is the film right. from last year, which is the film they're getting from training camp. So back to what Pete Carroll says, you have to believe that they see this, they know this.
They have to.
They understand that they've done this trade. A lot, they've been criticized about this trade, but they have Jamal Adams. So they need to find his strength and utilize it. So that could be, in my mind, a benefit for the Seahawks team, that they're going to use him in a way this year that is best for him.
And what KJ even said yesterday is that the drop-off, if anything happens to their linebackers, is severe. If anything happens to Brooks, if anything happens to Cody Barton, I mean, the backups, he taught, you know, yesterday he's mentioning Nick Bellor. I mean, God bless Nick Bellor. I mean, he's
12 years, by the way, in the NFL.
Funny dude.
Linebacker from Central Michigan, his 12th year in the NFL.
But if they're relying on Nick Bellor,
I agree.
It's going to be rough.
He's the special teams captain for a reason.
He does the interviews and the funny things. Yes. Like that. Everybody needs a Nick Bellor.
And he's great on special teams.
It's unbelievable. But if you're saying we're going to push him in to start playing, no.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have problems. So, you know, I think, what did I tell you? You just missed it. Another hot little league mom. It's unbelievable.
I think those are staged.
They may be staged.
Because, Puckett, not to throw off the KJ Wright, Jamal Adams conversation, if you've been out to a baseball game, there's some big moms, too. I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Hey! Wrong. I mean, define big. Some big moms. Can I tell you a great sportsmanship?
Happy moms. There's a lot of happy dads.
Maybe too happy. They've been a great sportsmanship between this Oklahoma and Texas team. The pitcher for Texas hit a kid in the head.
A lot of bunting.
Okay, hit a kid in the head. That kid everyone came out.
Okay.
Kid gets up, he's crying. The pitcher is bawling because he's hit a kid. He's scared that he hurt the kid. So then guess what happens? So the kid who got hit comes out to the mound and gives the pitcher a hug. To tell him, hey, it's okay, I'm fine, don't worry about it. They've pulled the kid from the game, the pitcher, but that was just a great sign of sportsmanship.
That's Little League.
A little bit better than yesterday at Summer Ball at Meadow Park, where I was being heckled by parents from the opposite team when I was calling balls and strikes.
Sure.
Hey, that's okay.
And it happens.
That was a little high. Well, you can come out here, sir, and feel free to call it. I'm out here, you know, in the heat, you know, sunflower seeds, just trying to have a good time.
Well,
and but if you want to come out here and do it, you are more than welcome.
And I just received unofficial numbers this morning that SPSL Football League, there was 139 registered officials before the pandemic. Puckett, they're down to 40.
Oh, well, I understand why. A lot of groaning. That's outside. Jesus, I'm like, I honestly wanted to turn and be like, do you think I like being out here?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a one-man band over here. You know, I'm trying to get guys positioned behind me in the field. Trying to tell them where the outs are.
I'd like to work a game with you.
Oh, my Lord. I don't even say anything. I just pour sunflower. Anytime you see me go to the sunflower bag, I'm putting more in. That means that's preventing me from saying something.
I would love to work a game with you, but we would put mics on and be mic'd up.
Oh, we could only hear what we're saying?
No, so everybody could hear us. When a parent kind of mocks us, we'll call them out.
Yeah, you want to settle down there over there, Beth? Maybe a salad bar, huh? All right.
Come hiking tonight.
Looks like, Beth, you could do some hiking. Oh, God. We're going to hell. All right. So, again, KJ Wright, that entire interview up on the website, 93.3 KJR FM, and then also on the iHeartRadio app. Download the podcast. All of our stuff is up there. KJ Wright, we had 30 minutes with him yesterday. Was terrific, especially his thoughts there on Jamal Adams.
Tune the blab, robotic kicking flab, a flavor bit of batter, chitter chatter, madder than the mad. I bet your boss come by fatter, I got the data, turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean, my man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand.
Hold up. All right, see a show about nothing. It's Pac along with Chris Egan from King 5 filling in for Jimmy Moore. Today's off just one day. He'll be back tomorrow. One more little outing there with his boys before they start their baseball career there at Pierce College.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad for them. I'm glad that they decided to go play baseball.
I am.
I really am.
I always tell everybody.
I feel responsible. I pushed them to do it.
I love that, because I was listening along the way as you were doing this on the show. And if you can play a sport, keep playing as long as you can.
God, yes.
You know, and so many people get caught up in Division One or D2. I mean, if you can play Division Three, NAIA, you know, junior college, community college, wherever. Awesome. If you're playing a sport, just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Issaquah is taking on Texas right now in the Little League Softball World Series. It's the opening round. Oh, great play from left field. And the boys, we got two games going on. I got the regional championship in the Southwest on the big TV, and then the Issaquah girls taking on Texas Little League Softball World Series opening round. No score. They are on the top of the third inning. That Piper Soden, one hell of a catcher back there.
For Issaquah.
Yeah, one hell of a catcher.
Issaquah's done a good job with their youth sports over the years.
That Piper has had to overcome all the athletic deficiencies of her father, Scott. You know, and that's a testament to Piper.
Piper is doing well.
Hot shot. Not a good athlete. Actually, it was a wonderful
And
athlete.
For many years, Puckett, Issaquah was kind of known as a soccer city. But
well,
now, you know.
Good for them.
Putting out some pretty good baseball teams and softball teams.
So you had a good time at the game last night, despite the hippies.
Despite the
hippies getting stoned.
Despite the our friends to the right of me.
Were they obnoxious? Did anything bad?
No.
The stoners usually don't.
They were very likable. You know, you almost wanted to adopt these guys.
Were they crushing like a helmet nacho or like a shish kebab or something?
They wanted me to run out to center field and get them some crab fries from the Crab Shack.
Oh, I know where the Crab Shack is.
Yeah. So they wanted me to head out there. I said, guys, no, I'm gonna hunker down here.
Why did they? Well, they couldn't walk out there themselves?
Well, it seemed like a long walk for them. And then my kids were enjoying some Kid Valley burgers, and I think he grabbed a couple garlic fries out of Austin Egan's bag. One of the guys did. But
I want to meet these kids.
Oh, it was fun.
If you were the two stoners last night sitting next to the Egan family, did they know who you were?
No, I kept low profile. Yeah,
okay. They didn't say, "Oh my God, it's Chris Egan."
No, I don't think. Okay. I don't know if they've watched.
I don't. They didn't look like two guys that watch network television.
No.
All right, so if you were the two stoners sitting next to that beautiful family from Puyallup, I'd love to get you on, because I got to know more about you guys. I got just
first game ever, Puckett. So I wanted them to. It was their first game ever. I love it right out of the gates. They turn to Austin and go, "What team are we rooting for?" And Austin says, "The team of the white uniform." And they wanted to know who
team of the white uniform. Jesus.
They wanted to know
how stoned were these guys.
They wanted to know who on the team to root for. And
oh, God bless them. God bless a good stoner. Really. It really is.
Who, by the way, if you're just listening, they did get a red card. So if you are a fan heading to T-Mobile.
Well, don't bring in a vape pen and smoke weed in the stadium.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
When you're traveling to another country, don't bring a vape pen also with you to another country.
Another no-no. Yeah, you can't do that.
They'll be a little bit smarter then. Your edibles are your friend. Okay, for anyone that wants to do it, edibles are your friend. Okay, it's easy. Pop it in, and away you go and enjoy the ride.
My nephew Jack said it was his favorite game he's ever been to in his life.
Because he probably was hitting the vape pen. How old is he?
He's only 11.
Well, you never can start him. You know, really.
Oh, my. But no, great atmosphere, Puck, in the end. I hope the Mariners, obviously it was pop fly after pop fly. Haniger, it was great to see him.
I was going to see Mitchie back.
Three hits, got the home run, the place went wild.
Here's the play that I like, is the play that he made where he almost threw the guy. Did he throw him out at home? Or he almost did. The play from right field. What I liked about it was his effort to get to the ball.
Yeah.
He played, it was just his movement. Because that ankle worries probably him and everybody else. He just looked like he was moving.
He was moving, and watching in person, I think if you're looking for a positive, it was Mitch Haniger. If you're concerned, I know it was one at bat, but Kyle Lewis was...
He's done.
Yeah, it's hard to see him not where he was at one point.
He, unfortunately, when they make all the roster moves on Wednesday, you know, it's Dylan Moore will be activated, Castillo will be activated, whatever they do in the bullpen. I don't know who in the bullpen.
They're going to need a lefty now.
Will be out there, yeah, because Baruki, yeah, that's right. Castillo, when he comes back, whoever will be the expense there. Position players, when Dylan Moore's activated, I mean, everybody is saying Jared Kelnick. I mean, I guess, but I know he's not hitting, but he is a good outfielder. And he's a good defensive outfielder. I don't understand the Jake Lamb thing. That's just me. I don't get it. I don't get Jake Lamb. I know he's local. Great story, all of it, but
so you would rather see you'd see rather see Kelnick stay Lamb.
Well,
go.
He's more versatile in the outfield, and you have Sam Haggerty can play everywhere.
Well, Haggerty's staying.
Well, Haggerty's not going anywhere.
No.
There's not
you're batting over 300, Haggerty has earned his spot on the team.
But Kyle Lewis will probably be the guy. Like, if you said who is it going to be, Lewis or Santana, unfortunately, it's Lewis.
Yeah.
He can't run. He can't do anything. And now they're really up against it. And again, this goes back to them not adding anything at the deadline. I know it's a broken record. But now you're dealing with another injury with Winker. I don't know. His back spasms.
Back spasms. How long left is the game last night. Yeah.
And again, I've clearly cannot play left field like he can. Okay. I understand that. It is for a Major League Baseball player. He is so far below average out there that it's embarrassing how bad he is out there. And he injured himself on a play that he took a horrible route on, a horrible jump, and he hurt himself. And he's just not good out there. They cannot, if he is healthy.
But Puckett, that is a tradition like Seafair.
It really, actually, you know what? You're right. Left field has always been a disaster, so might as well keep rolling him out there.
Why would we change things in
it
left
really
field?
It's like the Sonic Center after Sigma. Never could find one. It is, every game counts for them.
Yeah.
They cannot afford, when he comes back, to put him out there anymore. It has to stop. DH him. Do not let him play left field anymore. It's so bad. And he is going to lose them a game. Because, one, he can't field a ball. He can't track a ball. He can't throw anyone out.
So in the perfect, everybody's healthy, who do you have out there then? You've got Haniger, got J-Rod, and then you're putting...
Well, Julio's in center, Haniger's in right. I think at this moment, and maybe it probably, because you like his versatility, when Moore comes back, I'm throwing Moore out there, and I'm throwing Haggerty out there.
Yeah.
And then Winker can DH.
Winker and Santana, your DH?
Yeah, that's it. He cannot play out there anymore.
But you're right. Every game does count, and you can feel that team.
They're
right
only
now.
A game up on Baltimore right now.
Who's heating up right now?
All right, 11:05. Coming up next, John Canzano, johncanzano.com. You can follow him on Twitter, John Canzano, BFT. There's a lot to cover. Media rights deal, Big Ten, Pac-12, ESPN, Fox, where we stand. John's got the very latest next.